Let's start with the invocation phrase. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare
Okay, all the kids upstairs please. Upstairs. Everybody go upstairs.
Water.
I need water.
You need water? Go upstairs.
Okay. Thank you for being here this Saturday evening. You all could have also chosen to be somewhere else. Like few others. So we are still on our series on six Goswamis. Anybody remember the name? Okay, Sanjeeva Prabhu knows. Prabhupada Mataji knows. Anybody else? Mataji, you remember all the six names? Okay, please spell.
Adhupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Jeeva Goswami,
Gopal. Okay, so hopefully by end of today everybody will remember all the six names. So six Goswamis, and we have covered four of them. So we'll finish this series and maybe just next one more series, and then we'll come to our continuous series of Bhagavad Gita, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, kind of. We'll try. So today we'll cover the remaining few great personalities, and then next time I hopefully will cover a little bit about Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada. So the speciality about all the six Goswamis, what was the speciality? What was so special about the six Goswamis? So all of them came to Vrindavan on the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fulfill the mission which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had instructed, to find the hidden places of the pastimes of Radha Krishna, to write the books, to preach by their own example, right? To teach people by their own example how to progress in devotional life. So all of them were coming to Vrindavan. And what was the purpose of sending all of them to Vrindavan? Why there was need to find the hidden places, why the places got hidden and all the temples and all the deities were lost. So Vrindavan is considered as kind of the paradise on earth, okay? Because this is the place where Krishna appeared almost 5000 years back, and he did his pastimes, his loving exchanges with the gopis, and a lot of other pastimes. And with passage of Krishna, when Krishna left this planet, all these pastimes, all these places were also hidden. And later on, Vajranav, he established some of the places and he established some of the deities. And three of the main deities he established are Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govindji, Radha Gopinath. And so he established few of the places of Krishna's pastimes. Now, but with the passage of time, all these places were lost again. And this is just where Vrindavan is. Now, from in last 1000 years, starting from 1000, lot of Mughal attacks were there on India, right? When the Mughals started coming to India around 700 years. So first in 1000, there was Mahmud Ghazni, who looted a lot of temples, who destroyed a lot of temples, and he destroyed a lot of places in Vrindavan also, Vrindavan, Mathura. And even Krishna Janambhumi, if you know the history. Now, Krishna Janambhumi and Ram Janambhumi, both places there is a big controversy, right? There is a big fight. There is a mosque established right next to Krishna Janambhumi and a mosque established right next to Ram Janambhumi. And what was the consequences happened? Because when Mughals came, they wanted to forcibly establish their religion and destroy all the places of the ancient Sanatana Dharma. So wherever, whichever the most influencing places, like Lord Krishna's appearance place, his birthplace, and Lord Ram's place of appearance. So they wanted to kind of destroy all that and establish their religion in those areas. So he established, he destroyed the temple at Krishna Janambhumi and they built a mosque there. And same thing with Ram Janambhumi also. And in 1400s, between 1400 to 1500, there was another Mughal emperor, Sikandar Lodhi, who again repeated that task. Because Vaishnavas will try to re-establish again those temples. And again in 1400 to 1500, Sikandar Lodhi, he again tried to demolish a lot of temples. So all these places were hidden. That's why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appeared right around this time, right? In 1486. So at that time also, all these instances were happening, destroying the temples, destroying the places of significance of Sanatana Dharma. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart was bleeding. He wanted to establish, find out all those places, find out all those deities which were lost and re-establish those. So that was the purpose he was sending his core disciples or his core followers to Vrindavan. And among them are the six Goswamis, which are eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not just the six Goswamis, there are many other Goswamis and many other great saintly people which happened in the disciplic succession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll continue our discussion on. So four of them we discussed. Which are the four we discussed so far? Priya Mataji.
Rupa Goswami.
Sanatan Goswami. Last time, which were the two last time we covered? You were there last time?
Yeah.
No? But Vijay requested specially to send the recording.
Last time.
Okay, so the last time we covered Raghunath Das Goswami and Gopal Bhatt Goswami. So if you have not heard, please hear that, because very prominent Goswamis, the great task which they did, and the significance of the deities also, which we discussed last time, Radharaman deity. So today we'll continue with Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. So there are two Bhatt Goswamis, Gopal Bhatt and Raghunath Bhatt. So Raghunath Bhatt Goswami also, like Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at a very early age. when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying at their parents' house and he was instructing their parents, that time both of them, as a child, they heard the discourses of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? This we discussed last time, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, how he heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was staying at the house of, who was his father? Venkat Bhatt. So he was a priest at which temple? Shirangam. So Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, his father was Tapan Mishra, and they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Rampur, and then Mahaprabhu instructed them to go to Varanasi, because Varanasi was the hub of all the Vaishnavas and all the learnings basically. It was considered as a hub for all the education. So Raghunath Bhatt was born in 1505, kind of same as I guess Gopal Bhatt also. So in 1511, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again came to Varanasi while he was traveling to go to Vrindavan. So he happened to come there. So he stayed at the house of Tapan Mishra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that time how old was Raghunath Bhatt? Just 6 years old. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Raghunath Bhatt into his lap. He made him sit in his lap and he was instructing his parents. See how wonderful, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, he is having Raghunath Bhatt sitting in his lap and he is instructing his parents. So Raghunath Bhatt, he heard all these discourses for 10 days. So 10 days Mahaprabhu stayed there and he instructed them. And he heard their discussion. Later on, as he grew up a little bit, he came to Puri. His heart was attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came to Jagannath Puri where Mahaprabhu was staying, to stay with him, to surrender unto Mahaprabhu. So he stayed there for 8 months. And after 8 months, Mahaprabhu told him, you go back to Varanasi, stay with your parents. Your parents are such nice Vaishnavas. You serve them. So similar to, again, Gopal Bhatt also. Gopal Bhatt wanted to go with Mahaprabhu. He said, no, you stay here with your parents, serve them. When they have left the world, then you go to Vrindavan. So here, Raghunath Bhatt came to Puri. Mahaprabhu told him, you go back, stay with your parents, serve them. So after that, when his parents were grown old and they passed away, again he came back to Jagannath Puri to again unite with Mahaprabhu, to serve him. So he again stayed for 8 months. So two times for 8 months he stayed in Jagannath Puri. And second time, after 8 months, then Mahaprabhu told him, now you go to Vrindavan. Like his instruction to all the other Goswamis. So he said, now you go to Vrindavan. First time Mahaprabhu gave him his Kanti Mala. And second time he gave him his Tulsi Garland. So whatever Mahaprabhu gives to his followers, they kind of accept it as very precious object. So Mahaprabhu, all the Goswamis, somebody got something from Mahaprabhu, somebody got a wooden asan, somebody got a Govardhan Shila, somebody got a Kanti Mala personally worn by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they all got some personal things which they could consider as a remembrance of Mahaprabhu. So just looking at that object, they could able to remember Mahaprabhu for their remaining of the life. So Sri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, he had three very great qualities. So by the way, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami is the one which is least known about him. Among all the six Goswamis, there is very least known about Raghunath Bhatt. For all other Goswamis, there are so many other pastimes and so many of the things. But Raghunath Bhatt Goswami has kind of very hidden, mysterious personality. Very less is known about him. So there are three main things about him. One was, he was a great kirtan leader. He will sing the kirtan very melodiously, very nicely. And Mahaprabhu gave him the title as a kirtan acharya. So Mahaprabhu will hear his kirtan 8 months, two times, right? He stayed in Jagannath Puri. And Mahaprabhu relished his kirtan. Second great quality he had was, he was a nice cook. So he will cook nice dishes for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will taste that and say, this is out of this world. I have never eaten something like this. And the third quality he had is, he had memorized the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. All the 18,000 shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam, he had memorized. And he could recite the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in 3-4 different melodies. Like continuous recitation of Bhagavatam in 3-4 different melodies. So, and he never talked anything apart from Krishna Katha. Either he will be reciting Bhagavatam or talking about Krishna Katha. He never talked nonsense. He never wanted to hear any criticism about any Vaishnavas. Even if he knew that, okay, maybe he really had that fault or he made some mistake, he still did not want to hear about anything. He said, even though they may have some fault, they are serving Krishna and with time they will be corrected. So that was his quality, like one of the greatest Vaishnava qualities. To not find fault in others, but to glorify them. Sometimes we have this tendency, right? We ignore the good qualities, we focus on bad qualities. But what should be the quality actually? We should not focus on the bad qualities. If somebody had any issue right now, they are not able to do anything. But we should try to focus on whatever little bit they are able to do for Krishna. With time, if they continue their service, little bit, whatever they are doing, slowly, slowly, all those negative tendencies will be removed. Generally, it says there are two personalities, two living entities. One is a bumblebee, one is a fly. And what is the nature of these two? A fly neglects all the nice things. In the garden, there are nice flowers and nice everything. So the fly doesn't go to all those nice things. She go to a pile of trash in some corner of the garden and sit on that. And a bumblebee doesn't go on all these junk things, trash things. She go on the nice flowers and extract the nectar out of them. So as devotees or aspiring devotees, we should try to develop the quality of a bumblebee. Neglect or ignore the faults in others, not focus on the bad qualities or the faults in others, but focus on the good quality. And that good quality is, if at least somebody is able to serve Krishna to whatever little capacity they can. So Raghunath Bhat Goswami had this nice, the greatest Vaishnava quality, not to criticize anybody, not to hear any criticism about anybody. So Raghunath Bhat Goswami, when he came to Vrindavan, so he had a deep friendship with Rupa Goswami. And from the life of Goswamis, one another important point we can learn is the association of devotees. So even though all these Goswamis, they are so exalted Vaishnavas. Somebody is living in the Radha Kund, Krishna Shyama Kund area, somebody is living in the core of Vrindavan, in Raman Reti area, somebody is staying at some other place. But they all will get together, associate with each other and talk about Krishna Katha. And we'll hear later on. Their hub was Radha Damodar temple. So they all will assemble in Radha Damodar temple. All the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, Mathura area, they will all get together every day. And they will associate with each other, hear Krishna Katha. So association is very, very important. One should not think, oh, I have become advanced now, or oh, I have become very regular, or I have progressed a lot, now I am doing this, that. Association is very, very important. No matter at what stage of devotion we are, either we are a neophyte devotees or little progress, whatever we think of ourselves. First of all, we should not think of ourselves, oh, I have advanced. We should always consider ourselves, I am just a beginner. Association is the key. So Raghunath Bhat Goswami, he had a deep relationship with Rupa Goswami. And what was the deity of Rupa Goswami? Which deity Rupa Goswami found and served? Rather Govindji, right? Govindji deity. So Raghunath Bhat Goswami also, he spent all his time when he was staying in Vrindavan to serve Radha Govindji. And in later on, Raghunath Bhat actually, so he spent his time serving Govindji and doing Bhagavatam Katha. So he will sing Bhagavatam on the request of the Goswamis. He will recite the Bhagavatam. He did not write any books. He was always absorbed in Smaranam, like internally remembering Krishna and chanting the holy name. And he also passed away in the same year. He left his material body, same year as Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, in 1554. And earlier when we were talking about Rupa Goswami, we said Radha Govindji deity was established in, so there was a temple built, right, for Govindji. So Radha Govindji deity, there was a temple built by Man Singh. So this Man Singh actually happened to be the disciple of Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. So he was the disciple of Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and because Raghunath Bhatt Goswami also always served Govindji, so he inspired Man Singh to build a temple for Govindji. So this Radha Govindji temple was built in 1590, after all of them were passed away actually. And I told the history how later on Aurangzeb in 1600 sometime, he saw this bright lamp burning on the top floor of Govindji. He could see from his palace in Agra, and he sent his army to destroy this building. How can any building be taller than my palace? So that was his ego. And he sent his army to destroy these temples in Vrindavan. And that is the time when a lot of deities were moved. The real deities were moved to Jaipur, Karoli area, because those were ruled by the Rajput kings, who by birth were kind of devotees of Krishna. And they had temples built inside their palaces for the service of deity worship of Radha Krishna. So there is a Samadhi Mandir in that complex, which has the Samadhi Mandir of three Goswamis. Now, one of the Goswamis is Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, another one is Raghunath Das Goswami, and then Krishandas Kaviraj Goswami. Now, Krishandas Kaviraj is the one who wrote the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he was the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who also was sent to Vrindavan, and he heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes from, we discussed last time, from whom he heard the pastimes, who had spent a lot of time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das Goswami. He stayed for so many years with Mahaprabhu in Puri, right, 16 years. And later on, when Mahaprabhu left this world, he came to Vrindavan. And Krishandas Kaviraj, always he will go to Raghunath Das and ask him, please tell us the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So later on, he was requested, Krishandas Kaviraj was requested to compile whole Leela of Mahaprabhu. So he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita in his last years. So he was like more than 90 years old when he started this task of composing the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can see at the 90 years age, what is the condition, right, bodily condition. So he says, my hands are shaking, I cannot remember anything, and I have been requested to do this task. So he prayed at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the feet of Radha Krishna, that please you accomplish this task through me. So this three Goswamis Samadhi Mandir is in that complex. So now next is among these six Goswamis, last one Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami is considered to be the youngest one. And who is Jiva Goswami? Briefly we mentioned earlier. Nephew of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and there was another Anupam, right, who was initiated as Venkat. So there are three brothers, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and he is the son of the third brother, Anupam. So Jiva Goswami was born in 1511. So among the Goswamis, he was the youngest one by birth basically, and the last one who remained till the longest. So he was born in 1511, and from his birth, because he was born in a nice Brahminical family, he used to play with Krishna Balaram deities. Like right now, if you hear, right, if any child is born in a nice devotee family, from the very early age they get attached to the deity, or at least they will have some Krishna, Radha Krishna dolls. They are playing with those dolls. And so same way, like Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was also, from his birth, he used to play with Radha Krishna dolls. Same way, there is Narottam Das Thakur. The story will come next. And even Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada was very young child, he used to play. And he was given the deities of Radha Krishna actually, at a very young age. So if a Vaishnava, if a child is born in a Vaishnava family, they get attraction from a very young age towards Radha Krishna. So he was playing with Radha Krishna, Radha Balram deities. So when he was only 3 or 4 years old, at that time Rupa and Sanatan, Sakir Malik and Dabir Khas, they resigned from their job. They were serving under Nawab Hussain Shah. So they left their job as Prime Minister and Finance Minister and they surrendered unto Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Jiva Goswami at that time was only 3 and 4 years old. And his father actually passed away at very young, when he was just that old. So he also wanted to, he decided at that time itself to join with his uncles. But he was very young that time. So, as he was growing up, once he had a dream. He saw in a dream that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing in a Sankirtan party. So he had a vision of Mahaprabhu dancing. And he also got a desire that I want to go serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Overwhelmed by this feeling or separation from Mahaprabhu, he left his home and he came to Navdvip. What is the place Navdvip? Birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he spent his early years till his sannyas. So he came to Navdvip and at that time he stayed at the house of Shivas Pandit and he happened to meet Nityananda Prabhu, not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he happened to meet Nityananda Prabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu embraced him, he gave his blessings to him. He also surrendered to Nityananda Prabhu basically as the same feeling of Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das also got the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu that without your mercy I cannot meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or I cannot get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Jiva Goswami also, he got the blessings of Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu personally showed him all the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His early childhood pastimes and his before sannyas as a Nimai Pandit, his Leela. He showed him all those pastimes, places of pastime. And it says in the history, it's mentioned that it's unclear if he personally ever met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was very young when his uncles and his father met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas and he was traveling to south and stayed at Puri. And he never went to Puri. So it's unclear that he ever personally met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu touched his foot to Jiva Goswami's head, showered his mercy. And then he told him that you go to Braja. Braja is, Braja Dham is Vrindavan, right? The whole Braja Bhumi, Vrindavan, Mathura, Gokul, all that area. So he told him, go to Braja, hurry up, go to Braja. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given that land to your family for you as a family business. So that land is kind of as a family business for your family. What kind of family business? It's not that they are kind of selling anything or making money. It's a transcendental family business to revive the pastimes, the lost places of pastimes of Radha Krishna, to find the deities, establish temples, write books. So he said, go join the ranks of your uncles in their family business, in your family business. So while before going to Vrindavan, Braj Bhumi, he first came to Kashi. He studied under Madhusudan Vachaspati. And so Madhu Pandit Vachaspati, he happened to be the student of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also is a significant personality in the whole Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. Earlier, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya stayed in Jagannath Puri. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he came to Puri and he came to Jagannath Mandir. Looking at the deity of Jagannath, Mahaprabhu fell down unconscious. So then this news came to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a great scholar living in Puri. So news came that there is a young sannyasi and he became unconscious. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came there with his follower. He asked him that take this sannyasi to my home. So when he came to consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into consciousness. He told him, you are such a young sannyasi. He Sarvamama thought to himself that he is such a young sannyasi. For him to maintain his sannyas, he need to focus on Vedanta study. Otherwise, he will not be able to maintain his sannyas ashram. So he told that, let me talk to you about Vedanta philosophy. He told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very humble. He said, yeah, please, sure. So Sarvabhauma started talking about the Vedanta philosophy. He is talking about the Vedas and all. For 7 days, he continued talking about Vedanta. And Mahaprabhu is just sitting silently, not doing any expressions, nothing. At the end of 7 days, he asked, I'm speaking for continuous 7 days. Are you understanding anything at all? You're not nodding, you're not doing anything, you're not asking any question. So then Mahaprabhu spoke. I know about Vedanta philosophy, but whatever you are trying to tell, you are covering the real meaning of Vedanta. It's like sun is clearly visible, but somebody is trying to show the sun with a lamp. So, he said, I clearly understand the Vedanta, the ultimate purpose of the Vedas is to serve Krishna, to know Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, as Krishna says, Vedasya sarve aham eva vedyo, Vedanta krit veda videvcham. I am the compiler of the Vedas, I am to be known through the Vedas. So, Mahaprabhu told the purpose of the Vedas to know Krishna. And you are talking about all this philosophy, you are covering the real purpose, real meaning of the Vedas. And later on there had a nice discussion and Mahaprabhu converted him to actual Vaishnava philosophy. So Sarvabhauma actually became his follower. So I just briefly mentioned. So this Madhusudan Vachaspati, he was the student of Sarvabhauma. So Jiva Goswami got some training under him. And finally in 1541, when a lot of temples were already established, a lot of deities were found, because all these Goswami earlier came to Vrindavan. So at that time, Jiva Goswami also came to Vrindavan in 1541. So he was the favorite of everybody, because he was the youngest of all. He was the nephew of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. So he was kind of favorite of everybody. And he was initiated, proper initiation was done by Rupa Goswami. And he lived with him. So Rupa Goswami had compiled a lot of books that time. Right? He had compiled some books. And there was another, from another Sampradaya, there was another great Vaishnava or scholarly person, Ballavacharya. So once Ballavacharya came to Rupa Goswami, and he told him that, I can suggest some corrections to your book. And Rupa Goswami didn't kind of took it as an offense. He said, yeah, please, sure, you can correct my book. So, but Jiva Goswami got offended that, oh, he is trying to find fault in the writing of my uncle and my guru. So he got upset and he challenged Ballavacharya. But when he did that, Rupa Goswami, he got upset with Jiva Goswami that you don't need to find fault in others. You stay humble. So he got upset and he said, I don't want to speak to you. And that time Sanatan Goswami, he came to Rupa and he kind of as a jokingly, he told him, you know what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed us? Show mercy to every Jiva. So his name happened to be Jiva. So he was jokingly saying that we should show mercy to every Jiva. So cut some slack to this Jiva Goswami, don't be too hard on him. So then Rupa Goswami, finally he accepted him again. And there is another instance happened. There was certain Digvijay scholar, Rupa Narayan. So he was going to all the places, wherever some great scholarly Vaishnava stayed, he went to all the places, was challenging them. That either you have a debate with me on the Vaishnava Siddhanta in the philosophy, or accept the defeat and sign on this paper. So he was asking them, forcing them to sign on the paper. He was collecting all these letters signed by a lot of scholars as a display of, see, I'm such a great scholar. So sometimes this tendency comes to get some false appreciation from others. Say, oh, everybody should know how great I am, how learned I am. We want to show off sometime about our achievements or our qualification or our understanding, and we think, oh, everybody should glorify me, everybody should praise me, I'm such a nice scholar. So this Digvijay scholar came, he wanted Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami also to sign, either accept the defeat and sign on this paper. They signed that, oh, please take it, we accept our defeat, you go ahead. But Jiva Goswami challenged him. He could not accept that he wanted to defeat my guru or this the Goswamis. So he challenged him and he had a big debate with him. So he was basically displaying this quality of Guru Devatma. Like the spiritual master is a worshipable personality, that one should not accept any blasphemy to one's Guru Maharaj. So he was showing this quality. He challenged him on behalf of to maintain the reputation of the Goswamis. So after the disappearance of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, he was the most revered teacher in the whole of Brajabhumi, in the Vrindavan. He was considered as most knowledgeable person. And it's that Jiva Goswami, he is the one who wrote the most of books, the maximum books. Among all the six Goswamis, he wrote the maximum books. He wrote like 1 lakh of the shlokas. That much book he wrote, equal to 1 lakh shlokas. Bhagavatam is how much? 18,000 shlokas. So his writing is almost like 1 lakh shlokas. That much books he wrote. So many sandarbha, so many tattva, Krishna sandarbha, and so many of these writings he had done. So he established again the same principle what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was establishing, Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva, that there is a simultaneously oneness and difference in living entity and the Supreme Lord. The living entity cannot be equal to the Supreme Lord, it's eternally separate from the Lord. And the ultimate position of the living entity is to serve Krishna. So he established two associations actually. One is Vishwa Vaishnava Raja Sabha, World Vaishnava Association, and another one is Rupanuga Vidyapeet. So I heard in Loi Bazar, there's a place called Loi Bazar in Vrindavan. So there is this Sabha association, there is a place still there in Loi Bazar, and there are so many of the books still preserved, the actual writings of the Goswamis. So one can go and kind of look at those books there. So he established these two associations where people could come and study the writings of the Goswamis, especially this the writings of Rupa Goswami. And there's another Mughal Emperor Akbar. It says he admired Jiva Goswami and he made arrangement for writing paper. So Akbar actually, he had some deep affection or some admiration for two personalities. One was Mirabai and the second one was Jiva Goswami. So Mirabai also was around same time, 1541 to 1547, she also visited Vrindavan, and Jiva Goswami also came that time. And there is one mention that Mirabai sent a message to Jiva Goswami to meet him. And Jiva Goswami first rejected the proposal, that I don't want to meet any woman. And then Mirabai again wrote to him that in actual sense only Krishna is the Purusha. Everybody else is Prakriti. So everybody else is female in another sense. So then Jiva Goswami agreed to meet Mira. And Akbar also that time visited Vrindavan. He was told by Tansen. So Tansen was a courtier, as a musician in Akbar's court. And he, when Akbar praised Tansen, first time when he heard Tansen, Akbar praised him. And he said, oh, you are doing my praise which is nothing. I am nothing. It means you have never heard of Mirabai. You should come and hear Mirabai singing his her bhajans. And Akbar got very, so he wanted to meet, he wanted to come and see. So Tansen brought Akbar to Vrindavan when she was in living in Vrindavan, and some other place it says she was living in Dwarika, and Tansen took Akbar to Dwarika to meet her. So but bottom line is Akbar had some admiration for the culture. He never imposed his culture like other Mughal emperors. he had some admiration, like people follow whatever culture they are following. So he, same way he had admiration for Jiva Goswami also. So he arranged paper for his writing. And Jiva Goswami, he was personally given a DT carved by Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami personally carved a DT of Krishna called Damodar. And he presented it to Jiva Goswami. And this is like a 8 inch tall DT. So Jiva Goswami, he served that DT. And 1558 a temple was established. So whoever were the leftover Goswamis that time, all of them, they assemble. They will get together in this Radha Damodar temple. Come from Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radha Kund area. They all will come together every day. And they will meet in Radha Damodar temple and have discourse. So this is Radha Damodar DT. Very small, like Radha Raman DT. Radha Raman DT is also kind of small, 8-9 inch. Says Mother Janava, she was wife of Nityananda Prabhu. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu both disappeared, they left this world. She was also a great preacher. So she had many followers in the Bengal area. And she visited, many times she visited Vrindavan also. So she came twice with her followers to Vrindavan. And she met Jiva Goswami also. Jiva Goswami had many Shiksha disciples. So there is a difference in Diksha and Shiksha. Diksha is one who somebody formally initiates a disciple. And then there is many Shiksha Gurus. Diksha Guru can be only one, but there can be many Shiksha Gurus. Like from where we get the teachings. So there are many personalities who sent their disciples to Jiva Goswami for training. So Jiva Goswami was considered as a very learned, scholarly person. So a lot of people will send their disciples to get training under Jiva Goswami. So there was Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamanand Pandit. His original name is Dukhi Krishna. He was a disciple of Hriday Chaitanya Das, disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they sent their disciple to Jiva Goswami for training. So these three people, they took training from Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami wrote many books, 25 plus books, lot of Sandarbhas, as I said, 9 books of Sandarbhas, Harinama Amrita Vyakaran. So he passed away in 1608, so he was almost like 90 years old. His DT Radha Damodar is still present in Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. And lot of Goswami's Samadhi is built in Radha Damodar temple. So Radha Damodar temple, the courtyard, so if you enter, in the front there is a altar. On the side there are a couple of rooms. So there is one room on the side where Prabhupada stayed. So Prabhupada stayed for many years in Radha Damodar temple before coming to US. So he stayed there and he started translating Srimad Bhagavatam. He translated first two cantos of Bhagavatam while staying in Radha Damodar temple. And Rupa Goswami's Samadhi was there on another side, which was visible from the window of the room where Prabhupada was staying. So he was praying to Rupa Goswami, please aspire me or make arrangements so that I can fulfill the mission which is given to me by my Guru Maharaj. And on the other side, there is whole big complex or the garden area kind of, where a lot of samadhis are there of all the great Vaishnavas which happened in 1400 to 1600 time frame. All those samadhis are there. So there is a great like spiritual potency. People do circumambulation of the temple, so they pass from the whole samadhi area, then go back side of the altar, then come on the other side where Rupa Goswami samadhi is there. So circumambulate like 4 times. And in that temple, there is a Govardhan Shila also present, which was given to Raghunath Das Thakur by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that Govardhan Shila also is present in Radha Damodar temple. So this is a close-up of Radha Damodar DT. Jaya Radha Damodar, Radha Damodar Radhe.
Jaya Jai Radha Damodar Radha Damodar Radhe.
Jai Radha Damodar Radha Damodar Radhe. प्राण धन हे जय राधा दामोदर राधा दामोदर राधे
जय राधा दामोदर राधा दामोदर राधे
राधा दामोदर की जय. सो दीज आर द सिक्स गोस्वामीज. And next one, I want to talk a little bit about Lokanath Goswami and Narottam Das Thakur. So, we'll, I guess, finish this in next 10-15 minutes. So, Lokanath Goswami, actually, by age, is the eldest of all the six Goswamis. And he is actually the first one which was sent by Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan. Lokanath Goswami, he was born in the village of Talakori Gram in Yashora district. In Bengal area. So, Amalan is not here. He will know about the place. Because he is from Bengal. His father's name was Padmanab. And mother's name was Sita Devi. So, Padmanab was a follower of Advaita Acharya. Right? Advaita Acharya is the one who prayed for Lord's appearance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So, Padmanab, he was follower of Advaita Acharya, and Lokanath Goswami took his birth in the house of Padmacharya and Sita Devi, and he had a younger brother also, Praglab Bhattacharya. I heard in this village, in this particular place, the ancestors or basically the descendants of this family is still there, who are the descendants of this family, like his brother. Because Lokanath Goswami never got married. He left his family at a very young age. But the descendants of his brother, they are still there in that area, in that village. So, from his very young age, he had no interest in the family life. Lokanath Goswami, he did not have any interest in family life. So, he wanted to give up his house and go meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Navdweep. He had not taken sannyas that time. He was also kind of young that time. Young in the sense his early age before taking sannyas. So, Lokanath Goswami, he left his home and he came to Navdweep to take shelter at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai, Gauranga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Lokanath Goswami and he ordered, after a few days, he told him, go to Vrindavan. So he stayed there for a few days and then Mahaprabhu told him, you go to Vrindavan. And Lokanath, he had some feeling that he is soon going to take sannyas. So he did not want to go, he wanted to stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insisted that you please go to Vrindavan. So he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why you want to separate me from you? Why you want me to send away? And Mahaprabhu said, I am not sending you away. I am sending you close to my heart. So that was the reply of Mahaprabhu. So he said, I am sending you close to my heart because Vrindavan is my heart where Krishna did all his pastimes. So I am sending you to Vrindavan. So even a day stay in Vrindavan, one can achieve prema. So you should definitely go to Vrindavan. So finally, Lokanath Goswami accepted and he had another friend, Bhugarbha. So they both started their journey to Vrindavan. It took them almost 3 years by walk to finally reach Vrindavan. And that time there was nothing much known. They are the first one to come to Vrindavan before even Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. So Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha, they both came. There was nothing known about Vrindavan, no writings available, no maps, nothing. And all the places were lost. There are no scriptural references there. So he prayed to Vrinda Devi. So we say Vrindavan, right? Vrindavan means the forest of Vrinda. So Vrinda Devi is the Adhishatri Devi of the whole Braj Bhumi. So he prayed to Tulsi Maharani, Brinda Devi, that please organize or please reveal the places of Krishna's pastime. Unless you reveal it, how anybody will know? If you keep those places hiding, nobody will able to know. So please reveal those places, the sweet memory of the divine Leela of Krishna. Please reveal those places. So finally, soon after that, one old tribal person, there were many tribal communities living in those forest area that time. So one old tribal person came to Lokanath and he gave him one deity. He said this deity was found at Kishori Kund, at the bottom of the Kishori Kund. So this deity was found. So he presented that deity to Lokanath. And that deity is called Radha Vinod. Earlier, that deity was called Radha Vinod. Later on, they will change the name. So as soon as the Radha Vinod came to Lokanath, he started speaking to Lokanath. I am hungry. Give me something to eat. So Lokanath, he was amazed. Like, so this is the bhav of Lord also, God also. As soon as he come in front of his great devotees, he forget I am God and he fully kind of give him completely unto his devotees. That please, and he becomes like a child, that you serve me. So Radha Vinod started talking to Lokanath, please give me something to eat. And Lokanath became very happy seeing Krishna, the deity speaking to him. So he prepared some nice rice and offered the rice to Radha Vinod on a banana leaf. He did not have anything. He was a mendicant traveling all the way. He does not have any place to stay. So he cooked some rice, arranged some rice, cooked it and offered it on the banana leaf. So Radha Vinod accepted those, and so Lokanath, because he was not having not any place, so he kind of built a cloth bag. And he was always hanging, put Radha Vinod deity inside that cloth bag, was hanging that cloth bag on his neck. So he was hanging Radha Vinod on his neck all the time and he was traveling all around. Says Lokanath Goswami himself, just by himself, he found 330 places in the forest area, the pastimes of Radha Krishna. So after some other Goswamis finally came to Vrindavan, then Lokanath Goswami kind of took retirement from his task of finding the hidden places of Radha Krishna pastime, and he fully submitted in the service of Radha Vinod. Once Radha Vinod, he took the form of Lokanath. So he appeared in the form of Lokanath, went inside the kitchen and started cooking with one of the associate of Lokanath. And this person, he saw Lokanath is present here with me cooking. And then he came outside in the room. Lokanath was there also. So he saw Lokanath is here also, he is cooking here also. So he was kind of a little bewildered. So Radha Vinod, he was having nice pastimes, affectionate reciprocation with Lokanath. After Mahaprabhu's departure, many people came to Vrindavan. Raghunath Das came to Vrindavan and many other. And a lot of people built their bhajan kutirs in the Vrindavan area. So after all the Goswamis passed, so Lokanath was the first one to come and the eldest of all the Goswamis, and he was the one who stayed longest. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami passed in 1554. But Lokanath Goswami stayed for a long time. He crossed 100 years of age. So he was present maximum time with Jiva Goswami. So the four people who stayed were Lokanath Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatt and Bhugarbha. And later on, I said three other personalities came: Narottam Das, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda Pandit. So this Narottam Das, he actually took initiation from Lokanath Goswami. So we'll discuss a little bit, very nice history about Narottam Das in that particular pastime. So it says Narottam Das Thakur actually, before his birth, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted his birth. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming to Vrindavan area. So at one place, he took bath in the lake. And after taking the bath, he started shouting, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. And that time there was no Narottam. And people asked, the followers of Mahaprabhu asked, who is this Narottam? So then he said, there will be one great Vaishnava personality will come in the future. And he will have the name Narottam. And I am depositing my prema here, my love for Radha Krishna in this lake. This person, Narottam, he will come take bath in this lake and he will be surcharged with love of Radha Krishna. So that was his prediction was done by Mahaprabhu earlier. So this Narottam Das Thakur, Narottam, he was born as a son of a king. He was born to a king. And from very early age, he has no attraction for the worldly life. As Mahaprabhu's prediction, he once came to take bath in that lake. And as soon as he took a dip in the water, Mahaprabhu had deposited his mercy, his love in that water. So he was surcharged with that potency. And his form also, they said his form earlier was little blackish complexion. And as soon as he took bath in that river, his complexion changed. His complexion became that of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Golden complexion. So after that, he came to Vrindavan. So he left his palace, everything. He had no attachment to that. He came to Vrindavan. He studied under Jiva Goswami. And he wanted to take initiation from Lokanath Das Goswami. Lokanath Goswami did not have any disciple. And he did not want to have any disciple. But Narottam wanted to accept Lokanath was as his guru. So he decided to serve Lokanath in a very menial way. In the most menial way. How was that? Every morning Lokanath Goswami, that time there was no nice restrooms inside the houses. And this is actually against the Sanatan culture, our old culture, ancient culture, to have restrooms inside the house. If you look back 70 years back also, the restroom will be outside the house. Right? There were no restroom inside. Now restroom is next to kitchen, which is kind of very abominable. So, and that time there were no restroom facility. People will go to forest area to do their morning passing out the stool and all that. So Lokanath, every morning he will go to little outside of that in the forest area, and everybody comes there and pass their stool and urine, all that. So it becomes very dirty place. So Narottam, before Lokanath will come in the morning, Narottam will come in the night and he will clean that area. So Lokanath Goswami will not have any difficulty. He will not step onto somebody's passed out things and all that. So he will come personally. Imagine, he is the son of a king. Okay, and he is doing such a menial service to please Lokanath Goswami, to take shelter under him. He will come personally with the broom, he will clean that area. So it is happening, going on for so many days. And Lokanath, he started noticing, oh, before I come, every morning this place is very clean. Who is doing this? Who is cleaning this place? But nobody, he will not see anybody. So one day, Lokanath, he decided that I will hide behind the bush in the night and I will see who is coming and cleaning that. So he hid himself behind a bush. Narottam came and he started cleaning that area. And Lokanath Goswami kind of caught him red-handed. And then Narottam said, I am trying to serve you. I only have the desire to take shelter at your lotus feet. Please accept me as your disciple. So then finally Lokanath, looking at his meekness, his humility, his service attitude and his desire to take shelter, take initiation from him, Lokanath finally gave diksha to Narottam Das Thakur. So, little bit history about Narottam Das Thakur and so Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also went to Lokanath and he asked for his blessings. I mentioned, right, at very ripe age of 90 years, Krishnadas Kaviraj was given this service to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he came to Lokanath Goswami for his blessings. Please bless me that I may be able to accomplish this task. So Lokanath Goswami gave his blessing and he clearly instructed him, nowhere mention my name in the Chaitanya Charitamrita or in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. He did not want his name to be publicized anywhere. He wanted to be always stay in the background, not come up front or get any praise. So look, Krishnadas Kaviraj, when he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, he, not to violate his instructions, he did not mention his name. Only I guess one or two places his name is there. His name is not found anywhere in much significance. So Lokanath Goswami passed in 1583. So he stayed for almost like 30 years after all other Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. So he passed the age of 100 years almost. So his samadhi. So now his deity's name was? What was the deity name? Radha Vinod. So Radha Vinod deity name changed to Gokulananda later on. And the temple was built, Gokulananda temple was built for Radha Vinod. And this temple, his samadhi is also there in that temple. So this is Radha Gokulananda temple altar. So Radha Vinod deity is there and there are a few other deities there installed after that. So there are total 7 temples, as I mentioned earlier, which are have great spiritual significance. 7 Goswami Mandirs. Now let's see if how many of you remember those names based on those deities. We did not talk about one particular deity, which is Radha Shyam Sundar deity. I mentioned the name, right? 3 personalities: Shyamanand Pandit, Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur. So Narottam Das did not have any deities or did not establish any temple. Lokanath Goswami established the temple Gokulanand. So Shyamanand Pandit also had a very great history. How he got the name Shyamanand Pandit? His original name was Dukhi Krishna. Dukhi Krishna. Why his name was given Dukhi Krishna? Because he was always having so much of feeling of separation from Krishna. So he was always kind of sad in separation of Krishna. So his guru gave him the name Dukhi Krishna. When he gave him initiation, like at the time of initiation, guru give a spiritual name. So they will change the name and give you some name. Like my name, from legal name Vishal, it changed to Vrindanath Das. So his original name was something else. His guru, Hriday Chaitanya Das, who was disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave him the name Dukhi Krishna and he sent Dukhi Krishna to Vrindavan to study under Jiva Goswami. So, 5 minutes I will tell about that temple also. Very nice history, very nice temple. So, Jiva Goswami gave him the service to broom the area of Seva Kunj. So, there is a place called Seva Kunj in Vrindavan where still Radha Krishna pastime happened. Radha Krishna, Rasa dance happen every night. Says in that area, in the whole area of Seva Kunj area or Nidhivan area, still nobody can stay in the night. Once it become dark, nobody can stay in that area. Even the monkeys leave that area. All the monkeys leave that area and go to some other place. And if somebody happened to stay there by mistake in that area, that person, seeing the real pastimes of Radha Krishna, they lose their consciousness. They lose their whole consciousness and they become mad. They really become mad. There was a TV news also, sometime back I got some video clip. They were showing what is the mystery behind this place, that nobody can stay after dark in this area. If somebody happened to stay, he becomes mad. So he was given the service in Seva Kunj area. So he will always do like jhadu lagana. So uska kaam tha jhadu lagana us area mein. That was his service. So every day he will come and do brooming in that area. One day he found a nice pajeb, what do you call that, ankle bell in that area. And as soon as he picked up that ankle bell, he got some kind of surcharge with love. He said, this ankle bell looks very special. And that ankle bell actually happened to be the ankle bell of Radharani. So previous night, every night there is rasa dance happening. And Radharani's pajeb fell down in that place. So he saw that pajeb, he picked up that pajeb and he got ecstasy. His whole body started shaking and he got so much of ecstasy. And he heard, this ankle bell is not ordinary. It's not that somebody ordinary person lost it here. So he kept it safe. And Radharani, when she realized she lost her ankle bell there and looks like it fell in that area, she sent Lalita. So from Goloka Vrindavan, from the real abode of Radha Krishna, Lalita Rani, Lalita Devi comes in this area to down to Braja area, and she comes to this person, Dukhi Krishna. He was doing the brooming. Did you see any ankle bell, any pajeb here? He said, yes, I saw. So she said, it belongs to my friend. She lost it here. Can you please give it back to me? I cannot give it to you. I want to personally meet that. I feel that is not ordinary person who lost her pajeb here. I want to personally see. I want to personally meet her. So Lalita tried to persuade him and he did not budge. No, I cannot give it to you. I will not show it to you. And you first take me there. So then Lalita did not have any choice. So Dukhi Krishna, she took Dukhi Krishna. So he left his mortal body here. He left the body and he, in his spiritual form, Dukhi Krishna went with Lalita Devi to the Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. She brought him in front of Radharani. So he got Saksha Darshan of Radharani and then he gave the pajeb. She said, yes, this is mine. So he gave the pajeb to her. At that time, Radharani gave him two things. She took her pajeb and pressed it against the forehead of Dukhi Krishna. And he got a Vaishnava Tilk mark there. The mark we put on the forehead, right? So he got the impression of Tilka on his forehead. And then Radharani, from her heart, she brought out one deity of Krishna. That deity is called Radha Shyamasundar. Shyamasundar deity. And she gave that deity to Dukhi Krishna. She said, today onwards, your name is Shyamananda Pandit. And this is the deity, you should serve this deity. So now he came back in his material form here. And from that time he had two things. He got a permanent mark of this tilka here. And he got the deity, this Shyamasundar deity. And then Jiva Goswami, he heard this about this mark and he got a new name. Now he is known by a new name. My new name is Shyamananda Pandit. So when Hriday Chaitanya Das heard about this, that my disciple Dukhi Krishna, now he is known with the new name, he got upset. Oh, looks like Jiva Goswami transgressed the rules of Vaishnava rules and he gave initiation to my disciple. So he came with his followers to Jiva Goswami. How come, how dare you give another initiation? I had sent him just for training under you. And looks like you gave him another initiation and name a new name to him. So Jiva Goswami said, no, I did not give him any name. So then finally he revealed what has happened. That how he got this new name and they try to erase his new type of marking on his forehead. So they try to erase it and it will again appear. So then he revealed the whole history, what all has happened. So that time onwards, he became popular as Shyamananda Pandit and his deity as Shyamasundar deity. So now I have told about seven deities. And these are the seven temples, Goswami temples in Vrindavan, which are of the great spiritual significance. So let's start from the beginning. What all temples we heard of, or all deities we heard of. First deity?
Radha Madan Mohan.
Whose deity was that? Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami got the deity Radha Madan Mohan deity, and temple was built for Radha Madan Mohan. So Radha Madan Mohan temple. Second one?
Radha Govindji.
The deity of Rupa Goswami, and the temple was built Radha Govindji temple. Third one? Radha Gopinath. कि द प्राणधन ऑफ राधा रघुनाथ दास गोस्वामी. सो राधा गोपीनाथ डीटी. फोर्थ वन राधा रमन. राधा रमन डीटी हूज डीटी गोपाल भट्ट गोस्वामी मैनिफेस्टेड आउट ऑफ अ शालिग्राम शिला स्वयंभू. Right, he is a Savembu. He is not carved. This deity is not carved by anybody and it cannot be carved. The stone it is made up of, based on the archaeological study, nobody can carve the deity from that stone. As soon as somebody will try to hit it, sculpt it, it will break to pieces. So, Radha Raman temple, Radha Raman deity. So, four. Fifth one, Radha Damodar, deity of Jiva Goswami, personally carved by Rupa Goswami. And Radha Damodar temple. So five. Sixth one.
Radha Vinod.
Radha Vinod. Radha Gokulanan temple. Seventh one. Radha Shyamasundar. Deity of Shyamananda Pandit. So Shyamananda Pandit, this temple is very beautiful temple. Very nice in the... So when you go to the temple, they give out those pamphlets. And which is the whole history of the deity, how the deity manifested. So this deity is also not carved by anybody. This is also self-manifested deity, manifested out of the heart of Radharani, okay, and presented it to Shyamananda Pandit. So, very beautiful deity. It shows as a pictures also in front of the altar how Shyamananda Dukhi Krishna traveled. So they show some kind of wings behind him, and he is flying and going to the spiritual world in his real Savrupa and then coming back. So they present, they give out all those pamphlets. The whole history is there. And it says, people do the prakarma of the temple four times, which is equal to doing the prakarma of Govardhan. And on one corner, there is a bhajan kutir of Shyamananda Pandit. And people, very kind of narrow, cave-like thing. So people can go down in that narrow thing down, where Shyamananda Pandit stayed in his bhajan kutir and meditated or did the bhajan. So we talked about the Goswamis, the great personalities in the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara. So now we'll cover a little bit about the recent Acharyas. Okay. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada. I mean, there are many other personalities, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baldev Vidya Bhushan, many personalities are there. Okay. If we talk about each and every one, it will be like we will be just doing this whole thing. As it comes sometime, we'll mention about those also. Now, Narottam Das Thakur, there is, he composed many bhajans also. And one of the bhajan which we sing on a kind of a daily basis in the temples. Anybody know? What is the prayer composed by Narottam Das Thakur? At the time of Guru Puja, we sing Guru Ashtakam. That is composed by Narottam Das Thakur. रघुनाथ भट्ट गोस्वामी की जय. श्री जीव गोस्वामी की जय. लोकनाथ गोस्वामी की जय. नरोत्तम दास ठाकुर महाशय की जय. तो ही वॉज गिवन द नेम लेटर ऑन. हिज नेम वॉज नरोत्तम दास ठाकुर. ही वॉज गिवन महाशय ऑल्सो. नरोत्तम दास ठाकुर महाशय. सो ही वॉज मोर पॉपुलरली नोन इन हिज लास्ट टाइम्स एज ठाकुर महाशय. थैंक यू वेरी मच. Nityananda Prabhu, we did not cover, we will cover sometime. Well, I briefly mentioned, right, here and there in some pieces. So, we'll cover when we'll whole discuss the Chaitanya Leela in detail. That time we'll discuss more about Nityananda Prabhu also. Okay, thank you very much. If anybody has any question, any comment. Okay, thank you. So, we'll stop here. Can call all the kids and we'll